Proverbs chapter 23, I want to give you that. I don't know about you. I don't know how you take that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me want to do more. Don't make me want to lie down. I can tell you right now, brother. It makes me want to get out the door and do more. And you say, well, you're just one person. That's fine. One person can do a lot with the Lord. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, one man in God's a majority. Amen? It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Amen? It's about the Word of God. When there was some guys standing out there and we're on the street, Brother Jeff's out there holding those verses, and Ben and Brian, Brother Zito and all of them. Everybody that rides by there reads those verses. You watch them mouth them. They read more Bible in that time than they'll get their whole life, a lot of them. And that's not an exaggeration. Proverbs 23, we need to do more, amen. Dad, let me get back on this other message real quick. Proverbs 23:1. And I talked about this a little bit this morning, preached about two-thirds of it this morning. I want to give the rest of you tonight. And it's funny, I started this message, I've had this message for a while, worked on it, and it started as a Sunday night message. Sunday night I give you a shorter message normally, if you notice, and a little lighter. Sunday I give you a little bit more meat, and this message just kept kind of growing a little bit and kept getting more meat to it. Well, it turned into a Sunday morning and a Sunday night message. So the Lord put it right back where I started it, to a Sunday night. I had to stop it this morning. You guys were running out on me, and I just knew it was time to stop because I was going to get to some good stuff I wanted you to pay attention to. Proverbs 23:1, and I love the Bible. I love this. This is good stuff, man. I mean, you read this stuff, you say, what's going on? And I'm just giving you a port. I'm just a dumb thump with a pea brain up here. God's got so much in that thing, it's unbelievable. I just see what I see in it. And when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is said before it, what is before thee. And put a knife to thy throat, and thou be a man given to appetite, and be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. And that's good stuff, man. I mean, every little word's a good stuff. Every little word's a step. And I read that, and I was studying that the other day in that verse, and I'm thinking, Solomon wrote that, you know, about, what, 3,500 years ago, I guess, somewhere around there. And I'm thinking, that's like today. I mean, that's like reading today when I'm reading this thing. When I said us, we talked about that. There's that relaxation. That's when you kind of relax and you sit down on the Lord and you just lay down your guard. And that's when you're the weakest part in your Christian life. And that's what I try to do when you come here and preach. I don't know if you figured it out yet. I try to get you mad, sad, happy, and glad before you leave, one or the other. I want you to change, amen. I want you to go out this thing and say, bless God, that crazy, stupid preacher, he is all over me today. I'm just going to go out and do something for God just to inspire him. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get you at the point, hey, every message I preach, I done preached to me 100 times. It's time you get it for a while, amen. I done got it. And there's that relaxation to when thou sittest. And we have that tendency to sit and get relaxed. And we do. That's when the devil can knock us out real easy. And there's a relaxation when thou sittest to eat. We talked about that. There's a reason to eat. You know, that's that appetite. That's that part of us. We all like to eat. We all have something in our life. We're not talking about just food. There's something in your life that you just like to do. Miss Karen, she loves yard sales. She hates them. She's like me. She'll go around the block just not to pass one. That's me. I don't like them. Now, Jeb likes yard sales, see? I like to fish. I could live on the lake, me and Brother Alonzo. We could just pack up down there and put us a mailbox down there and bring us a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Every couple of days, we'd be all right. You know, it's just some people have some things that just tempt you and it's given to you appetite. I don't know what it might be. It might be just lazy. I've had people like that. I remember Brother Charlie years ago, and he's one of the most energetic guys I've ever known. But I remember him preaching one time as he got older, Miss Frieda. He said one day up there, and I'll never forget that, he said, that bed of mine has become my enemy. He said, I'm getting where I like to stay in that thing too long, you know. And sometimes it might be, I don't know. There used to be a track years ago. I hadn't seen it in probably 20 years. Some of you have been saved a while. You might remember it. Miss Martha might remember. And on the track it said, others may, but you cannot. Anybody remember that track? And the idea behind that track was, There's some things you can do and get away with it, and it won't bother you, but if somebody else does it, it'll take over their life. That's like me in fishing. Brother David Wood out there in Pell City, pastors out there, and he lives out on Logan Martin Lake. He likes to fish. And we was talking about fishing one time, and he said, "Brother, we better change the subject." He said, "Cause that fishing gets to me." He said, "That's one of those things that I'm not careful, I have to watch myself." He said, "I'd just get backslidden away from the Lord just fishing all the time." Amen. Now some of you, you don't care to fish. There are some things, if thou be a man, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, there are some things you have an appetite. There's a reason. There's a relaxation. And then there's that ruler. That's the thing that gets hold of you. Amen. We all have that. Amen. We all have something in our life that either just can make you mad that quick, or something that can just make you happy, glad that quick, and take over. I don't know what it is. Maybe shopping. Dot's got something over there on Miss Carol because she just slapped him. He said something. She knocked his nose off over there. I get that one over there now. I mean, there's a relaxation, there's a reason, there's the ruler. And you know, sometimes in life, you don't know sometimes when that appetite sneaks up. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And there's old David. There's David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And David was a man after God's own heart. David was a great man. He's the one that took Goliath down. Remember all that? Preached about that. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, there's David. David never lost a battle in the Bible. I've heard people say, but he lost several of them, if you study your Bible. But over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it said there was a time when kings went to war. See that? There was a time, came to pass, and the year was expired, at a time when kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him in Israel, and they destroyed the children. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. The king was supposed to go to battle. That was David. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing her, and she was very beautiful to look upon. Bathsheba. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and they said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, and the wife of Uriah?" And David sent messengers and took her. Took her from out there. She didn't come to him. He went and got her. You see, David got relaxed that day. David should have been in the battle. David should have been in the war. David got relaxed when thou sittest to eat. And David had an appetite that day. I mean, he'd been sleeping all night, day. He got up at eventide, even laying in bed, lazy bum. He was just sitting there relaxed. And so apparently something was going through his mind, obviously. How did he look out there, a woman bathing? And normally all they do is roll up their leg like this. It's about as much as they see you seeing. So something was going on in his mind, Miss Samantha. You see, there was an appetite going on in his heart already. And for long, a ruler took over. And David went and got her, told him to go get her, and ended up committing adultery with her, having her husband killed. And look over 2 Samuel chapter 12. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. See, what are you saying? I'm saying there's a relaxation, there's a reason. And there's that ruler to show up. If you're not careful. It happened to David. It happened to Peter. Remember old Peter we talked about this morning? Nobody in here is strong as Peter. Peter had his problem, but I guarantee you, spiritually, he was way above anybody here. He followed the Lord far off. And he said he went down there by the fire warm, and he sat down by him. And the next thing you know, when he's sitting there relaxed by a fire, enjoying himself, and they come up there, and for long he denies the Lord. Problem was that sitting. That sitting. Problem with David, that sitting, that relaxation, laying in bed there. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. And God sent his man Nathan there. Oh, this is good stuff. I don't have time really to preach, and I'm just sitting. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich, the one poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks." That's David. That's David. "And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds." David could have had any woman he wanted in the kingdom. any woman he wanted. He had concubines and wives all over the place, and yet he went and took another man's wife and raped her and then murdered her wife. What happened? You say, why? He got relaxed. You say, why? There was an appetite. You say, why? A ruler showed up. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished him up, and he grew together with him with his children. That's talking about Bathsheba and Uriah. And drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and wasn't him as a daughter? All right, verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. That's David. You say, who's the traveler? I tell you who he is. He's the one over in Job chapter 1. When Satan appeared to the Lord, he said, where you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro from the earth. You know what he is? He's a traveling man. You know what it said in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walketh about. He's a traveling man. You see, when David got relaxed, you see, when David had that reason, that appetite, you see, when David had all that going, the traveler showed up, the ruler, and took him down. And he summed to Nathan. Look over there in 2 Samuel 12. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared of his own, take of his own flock, of his own herd, and dressed for the wayfaring man. That's the devil. That was come unto him, and he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man. David's anger was kindled greatly against the man, and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, this man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because I had no pity. And David, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You know what happened to David? He said he's going to restore to him fourfold. Four of David's kids died. Killed them. The Lord told David, he said, because you did this, the blood will never leave your house. All his life from that moment on, Brother Jeff, his own kids were trying to kill him because of that little deal. See, you get relaxed, folks. David was a great man. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that fought Goliath. David had all the things. He wrote the book of Psalms. But he got relaxed. And that appetite showed up that day. I mean, there was no reason for David to look at Bathsheba by the way they bathed back in those days. She wasn't out there skinny dipping, folks. She is showing a little about that much. He has something going on in his heart. There's an appetite there. And the traveler showed up, the ruler. And there's the relaxation. And there's the reason, that appetite. And there's the ruler. And that's kind of where we stopped this morning. And the Bible says this, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, and it said this, consider diligently, diligently what is before thee. I want to say the next point, there's the research, the research. The Bible said, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee. And you know, in this day we living in, there is so much stuff that comes upon us. When I was reading that verse and studying that verse and getting this message up, I was thinking, Lord, that's for this generation. How could that fit for Solomon? Solomon didn't have Facebook. Solomon didn't have the internet, did he, Miss Samantha? He didn't have 24/7 cable news and CNN and all that kind of stuff that's going on out there. He didn't have it. I like to go walk around the park, Cosby Lake, and pass out tracts. That's one of my little ministries now that I got time. And I talk to a lot of people. I like to go in the morning. You go in the morning, you get to see all the old people, Miss Samantha. They're the retired folks. You go in the afternoon, that's all the people that's got off work, and they're the young guys, people. But I like to go in the morning with the old folks like me. So I go down there and talk to them, you know. They'll talk to you because I have nothing. Most of them are tired, and they like me and Brother Lonzo. I talked to a lot of retired guys out there, and they didn't want to retire. They kicked Brother Lonzo out when he was 59, right? They kicked Uncle Reuben out when he was 13, I think, somewhere. He retired when he was 13. And most of the guys kind of like me and Brother Lonzo, they just kicked you out at some point, got tired of you, whatever. And I talked to those guys, and we sit and talk sometimes like old codgers do, you know. And we talk about how this world has changed. How these kids don't know anything anymore. All they do is walk around with their phone. You'll see them at the park. I mean, they just psychotic kind of thing, man. What's going on? You know what I'm talking about. My kids come out the house, especially my son and daughter-in-law, and they're sitting there at your chair the whole time. I'm thinking, do you have that many people you got to talk to right now? Now, my daughter and her husband, they got two little boys, so they kind of had to give up a lot of that. They do it some, and not like my son is. I mean, it's amazing. There's so much that comes down on us. Consider diligently what is set before thee. There's the research. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Take your Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 17, I believe it is. Acts chapter 17. The word diligent, it means to be steady, earnest, energetic, effort, care, heed, heedfulness. Psalm 119:4 says, "Hast thou commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently?" Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Consider diligently. Be on guard is what it's saying. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and sound," watch this, "and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." Brother, you ought to consider diligently what is set before thee. And I got news for you, brother. This right here is the only thing you need to research right here. This old blessed King James Bible can answer any question, any problem, any concern, any issue, anything you got in your life. There's an answer in this book. I don't care what it is. Ronald Reagan looked at this book years ago and he said every answer that faces us, every problem we have, both domestic and foreign, has their answer in that single book right there. That's the researcher. Brother, whatever you hear on TV or whatever goes on around there, you ought to go to that book and check it out. Consider diligently what is set before thee. We got so much stuff coming. I mean, all this cable, 24/7 news, CNN, Fox News. We're in the most stressful generation that's ever been. Y'all know that? I gave that a while back. And Alabama's the most stressful state in the nation. I don't know why, y'all. Not because of me. Like old brother Haverman up there, and he's preaching in Pensacola. And he used to be a college professor, hippie college professor. And he got up there preaching one time. And he said, I took 1,000 LSD trips. He said, it didn't bother me a bit. I don't know what people are talking about. I'm not stressed out. Howdy, brother. There's so much coming on. You turn on Fox News or CBS, and every time you turn it on, there's a big flashing. Breaking news! Every second, hey, breaking news, news alert, and you're about ready to go jump in the bathtub and hide under the bed. The Russians just bombed, and they'll say, "Oh, Donald Trump landed in El Margo." Whoop-de-doo! I mean, they make a big thing out of everything, and the people get so stressed, consider diligently what is set before thee. That's what I try to give you here in the morning. Some of that news junk. I'm trying to be like Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey, y'all remember him? He was one of the greatest radio personalities ever to live. I love that voice. And how he started, how he ended was, how he started, "Now for the rest of the story." See, I'm trying to give you the rest of the story, see. And I'm trying to take all that junk they pop you in and kind of give you what the Lord side over there and kind of a little bit, trying to equal out, trying to get you back over here. I got a blessing a couple of weeks ago. We was having down there visitation. And we had some good talks there. Me and brother Jeff and brother Anthony and brother Brian, we like to solve the whole world's problems last Saturday morning, didn't we? I mean, we were just talking. We come up with a solution for everything that morning. We could have just got on the news. We could have fixed it all. But I got a blessing a couple of weeks ago. We were all talking, and somebody said, "Man, you know what my favorite part of the service is? Brother Terry," several of them said, "when you give us all that news stuff and give us all that stuff and counter," they said, "man, that's the part I look forward to more than anything. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to give you the rest of the story. I'm trying to get you to consider diligently what's said before you." I mean, all that health news. I mean, a few years ago it was, "Don't drink any coffee. Don't drink it. Drink decaf. That caffeine will kill you." And that decaffeinated will kill you. You know what they use? They use the same stuff in the dry cleaning business is what they use to get out of your clothes. They get the caffeine out of the coffee I read about. And now they're saying coffee's great for you. And you need to drink 6 cups a day and you'll be cured from Alzheimer's and all that kind of stuff. I drank 2 cups. If I drunk 6 cups, you might as well move my bed in the bathroom. I'd never come out. It's a diuretic, man. I would never leave there. You say what he said? I'm telling you, most of it's just fake news. That's what the news media calls it now. Fake news. That's what they call each other. CNN says to Fox, you're fake news. And Fox says, you're the fake news. They're all fake news. Listen, there's only one news you can trust right here. This is it. There's the research. Brother, consider diligently, diligently what is set before thee. I mean, it's amazing what's going on now. We're living now. Now the big thing, you know, is opiate addiction. Everybody's on opiates now. I love Brother Earl. He was talking about when he had his hernia. And they said, you need some pain medicine? He said, oh yeah, give me all you can. Remember that? He said they gave him a big old bottle. Remember that? He took it home and flushed it down the toilet. He said, praise God, nobody. He told me, he said this. He said, preacher, the number one problem I'm seeing in churches right now is prescription drug abuse right now in churches. Where's the Alabama, by the way. Alabama leads the nation in opiate addiction and stress. At least we're leading something, amen. At least it's something. At least we got the best football team in college football and the best coach, and we got the most people hooked on dope. Amen. We're leading in something, and we're the most stressful too. So at least we can claim a few things, Brother Jeff. I want to say, there's the research. Consider diligently what's set before you. Because I'm going to tell you that book's all you got. And there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on out there. There's an old saying. You ever heard it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I learned a long time ago, years ago, I heard a guy named Dawson Trotman. Anybody remember him? Dawson Trotman, Valerie. Valerie, don't miss. She raised her hand about it. Hey, Valerie, would you go to school with Dawson? He is a famous evangelist. And Dawson Trotman, after I got saved, I heard a tape about him. He's one of them that taught you to memorize the Bible. It's when I started to memorize the Bible with him. And I heard a tape, and he said this. He said, I made a promise to the Lord. He said, Lord, if somebody ever asks me a question out of the Bible and I can't get an answer, he said, I want to get an answer because I don't want it ever to come up twice and I don't have an answer. And I try to live that. If something comes up and I don't know what it is, if something gets me and shames me and fools me, I don't want it to happen again. I want an answer from the book. I don't want it to happen twice. Shame on you if you get me once. Shame on me if they get me twice. And there's the research. You and I, we need to consider diligently, diligently what is said before thee. And it says, verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties. Dainties, that means delicious. Dainties is a Krispy Kreme donut. Miss Debbie's shaking her head. She must know what I'm going to say. It said, beware of their dainties for their deceitful meat. You know they closed, I was researching this, by the way, on this message this week, and they closed 2 Krispy Kreme donuts, probably more than that, but one was in Miami and one was in North Carolina. You know why they closed it? It was infested with roaches. And some people reach in there and bit on one of their Krispy Kreme donuts and thought it was cream filled, and it was I'm telling the truth. I'm not preaching. You know, sometimes in life, doesn't it happen? Sometimes you think, man, that's amazing. That's a Krispy Kreme donut I'm about to eat. And you reach in that thing and it's full of roaches. You know, roaches probably healthier for you than the donut, by the way. Just throw that in. What they say, at least. Sarah, do you know if roaches are good for you? There's the research. There's the research. I mean, you never know what's going on. Beware of their dainties, for they're deceitful meat. Sometimes you think life's giving you a Krispy Kreme donut, and you take a bite of that thing, and it's nothing but roaches. Happens all the time in your life. There's a research. We got one safe haven. We got one place in this whole world. One place is not Pearl Lake Baptist Church, not this preacher, not Peter Ruckman. It's nobody. It's one place safe 100% that you can go to and you know you'll get the truth and you'll know you won't be scammed, and it's this book. That is it. That is it. This book is it. I got one safe haven. I got one place I know I can research. I got one sanctuary city they talk about, and it's the Word of God right there. I used to have on my website years ago a little picture on it, and it was from the X-Files. Isn't that TV show X-Files? Got those guys, you know, that he goes around looking for a UFO or something, him and that girl or something. I don't know. But they had a big kind of a poster, and it was X-Files, and they were looking for the truth, yeah. And it had, "The truth is out there," what they used to say on it. I made me a little gif, and I used their little symbol and all that kind of stuff and made it look like theirs. And I had, "The truth is in here," and I had a picture of the King James Bible. They didn't like it. They called me up wanting to sue me. They told me to get it off. I left it on there. Amen. But that's the only truth you can get right there is in that book. That's it. When it's all said and done, brother, there's nothing left but that book. They had a guy here recently. His name was Aaron Hernandez, famous football player. That guy, his last, I was looking this afternoon, his last contract that he signed with the Patriots, Brother Ben, was over $40 million a year. That's a lot of bubble gum, you know it? That's a lot of Mustang, brother. That's a whole car lot. $40 million. Linebacker. That guy was a monster. You know what happened? Tight end. I'm glad I got an expert over here. I got the concordance over here, and I got the sports guy over here. Tight end. $40 million. You know what happened? He shot that guy. And then he got in jail here a few weeks ago, and he ended up committing suicide. Killed himself. You know what he had written on his forehead? John 3:16. You know what he had in his room? They said he had his Bible open to John 3:16. When that guy got through all the crime he did and all the money and all he got through, all that guy had left was John 3:16. I hope he got saved. I hope he got hold of it. I hope he did. But it was just a testimony, even to a heathen like that. Everything he had, brother, when it gets right down to it and the ground is level, all you got's that book to hold on to. Consider diligently what is set before me. There's the researcher. There's the research. Not only that, give you one more thing here. And there's the response. There's the response. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. You know what the universal symbol for killing and stopping it is? You see it all the time, people go. You see them in movies, you know, there's a play going on, it's not going bad. You'll see the director go out there and go, "You know where they got that from?" Got it from the old King James Bible. They don't know it, but I know it. It's where they got it from. And that's what that verse is saying. It said, if you're a man given appetite, just put a knife to your throat, kill it, stop it. You know what God's response is to the vexation of the ruler, to all that going through? He says, just kill it. Stop it. Because you know what we want to do? We want to tame it. We like to play with it. We like to, you know, I can handle it. I've had so many people tell me that before. I've had so many drunkards tell me that. I've had so many dopers tell me. I know a preacher right now on dope, still preaching. I know he just half his church left him a while back. I told you, he'd blow your mind. On dope right now. You know what he told a friend of mine? He talked to him about it. He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I can handle it. I can preach while I'm doing dope, taking opiates." So he's trying today. I'm going to tell you, brother, God says, stop it. Kill it. Put a knife to thy throat. Stop it. Kill it. We say, "I can handle it. I can handle it." You can't handle it. This flesh is so weak, man, it'll knock you out like that. It'll take you down like that. I read an article here a while back. In the paper, some old Alabama boys, you know we're bright. You know how bright we are, you know. you know, we're the most stressful dope heads in the whole nation, so we're leading in something. And these rednecks were out there, and they've been drinking, probably smoking dope. And you know what they found? A timber rattler. Timber rattler can hurt you. Yeah, copperhead's not too bad. They're not that poisonous. Cottonmouth, step above a copperhead. But boy, you get hold of a rattler, you get hold of a diamondback, and that bites you, you might as well go dig your grave if you got time. You might not make it to the hospital if he hits you. And that timber rattler is a poisonous. He's a bad dude. Now, I picked up a bunch of timber rattlers in my day when I was a dope head. I used to catch snakes. And I'd reach down there and pick him up. I'm not going to do it anymore. I got better sense, but I have. And you can tell a snake's got personality. And you can get up there, and when he's not bothering you, can just kind of, and he knows you're not going to hurt him, and he can't eat you. You're not too big to eat. He won't bother you. But these guys, they found this timber rattler, and they've been drinking. And they got sticks, and they started playing with this snake, and started messing around with this snake, and pushing this snake around, and picking it up by the tail. I was reading it. And boy, before long, that snake reached down there to the timber rattler and bit one of them. And he died before he ever got to the hospital, it said, because he had all that alcohol in him. You know what? I was thinking, that's how a lot of Christians are. We find that rattlesnake, find that sin, find that ruler, and don't consider diligently what's set before us, and we play with that thing, and play with that thing, and mess with that thing, and mess with that thing, and that thing will bear them back and bite you and kill you spiritually before you know it. Happens all the time. Happens in this church. Happens all the time, folks. When I sit us to eat with a rattler, with a rattler, with a ruler, consider diligently wise. There's a response from the Lord. And the Lord says, kill it. Stop it. Take your Bible. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Give you a few verses. Romans 8. That's what the Lord tells you in the New Testament. You know what we like to do? We like to play with it. We like to mess around with it. We do. We all do. We're all that way. We're all that way. We're like Eve. I mean, a serpent comes and talks to her, and she cares a conversation. She should have never cared a conversation on in the first place. That's the dumbest thing. That's the number one fault right there. You know? What's that? Snake comes up and talks to you. I mean, a serpent stand up there. I mean, we play around with it too many times. God says, put a knife to thy throat. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I can tell y'all aren't a snake-handling church. Y'all ever seen that show they have on, they used to have on TV, that snake-handling church? That's a wild bunch, man. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says this. Romans 8, 13, talking about kill it. Talking about mortify, the Bible says. Romans 8, 13, if you live after the flesh, this is a Christian now. If you live after the flesh, God will kill you. You'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you live. You know what mortify means? It means to kill it. That's what it means. Somebody laid an egg. There's a mortician. There's a mortuary. You know what it means? It means to kill the deeds of the flesh. God said don't play with it. All throughout the Bible you find the Lord saying that. You know what you're to do? Kill it. Put a knife to thy throat. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Go to Colossians 3 and Galatians 2. I could give you a zillion verses in this. Just give you a few. There's a response. There's that research. We need to consider diligently what is said before us in the Word of God. Brother, that ought to be your judge. That ought to be everything ought to be filtered through the book. And then there's a response. The Lord said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given appetite. We're all given the appetite. That given means control. Control. Look at Galatians 3:5. Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Kill them. Mortify. Kill them. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness which is idolatry. Mortify it. Kill it. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. You see, we can't beat this flesh. Flesh is weak. God says, kill it, mortify it. He says, how do you do it, preacher? You just deny it. Jesus said, if any man follow me, won't you want to be my disciple? He said, if anybody follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. You know what that cross is? Death. That's where you die. He said you die. Paul said over in Corinthians, he said, I die daily. Take up your cross. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. What he said? So what are you trying to say? Well, when you're standing there at the grocery store and they're there and you know you give a tract and your old flesh says, you don't want to do that because they'll think you're an idiot. That's what it'll do. Our Brother Ben goes in there. I'm getting a kick out of Brother Ben. When he goes into one of those Captain D's and says, I just want to let y'all know I'm saved and I believe in the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody's not saved, I'd like to tell you about him. The old flesh says, don't do that because they'll think you're an idiot. You know what you do? You die to flesh. You die and say, I'm not going to let the flesh rule me. I'm going to give them a track and tell them about the Lord. That's where you die. You say, that's when your old body gets lazy and you don't want to read the Bible. And you say, I'm too tired. And you say, you better get up, you sorry piece of dirt, and read your Bible. That's how you die. That's what it's talking about. That's not talking about literally take a knife and cut your throat. It's where you just die daily. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Look what Paul said. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. He said, I'm dead. I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what he's saying? I'm dead. I'm dead. What's the response? Kill it. Ask old General William Booth one time, one of the greatest Christians to ever walk this earth. Man, I got a book called Born to Battle. You ought to read that book. That old man was something else, boy. Man, he had terrible health. All those preachers had health problems. Oh, Uncle Bud Robinson, that old time Nazarene, he had emphysema. He worked in the coal mine and he had spit up blood all the time when he's preaching. And he had a shoulder that would come out of joint and he'd get preaching and they'd get excited. Old time Nazarene, and they'd hop around and his arm would pop out of joint over there and lay it on the ground. And they'd get down there and hold him down, pop it back in. He'd get up and preach again. Had bad health, man. Old General William Booth, he had terrible health. Terrible health. And he signed King Edward's book. He said, some man's ambition is art. Some man's ambition is fame. Some man's ambition is wealth. He said, my ambition's the souls of men. Queen asked him one time. She said, General Booth, how is it that God was able to use you like he did? How was it that God used you with bad health and all the things and all these healthy people? God didn't use, but he used you. And he began to weep. He said, Your Majesty, I guess God just had all there is of me. They asked him one time, they said, what's the secret, General Booth? What's the secret of serving God? He said, there was a day General Booth died. He said, I died to the cares of the world. I died to the pride of life. He said, I died to the whatever people thought. He said, I died and gave it to Jesus Christ. You know what the response is? Kill it. Kill his flesh. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ that liveth in me. He said, I'm dead. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. See, you can't beat it, folks. God knows what he's talking about. I could give you verses after verses after verses on this. In fact, I got a message on the crucified life. One of these days I preach. The Bible said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given appetite. Kill it. Get away from it. Galatians 5:24 says this is a great verse, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Where is it? Dead. Crucified. Look at Galatians 6:14. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. See, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord said over there, put a knife to thy throat, and thou be a man given an appetite. God says, stop it. Kill it. Don't play with it. Because it'll come up, and it'll bite you. It'll take over. Christians play with things all the time. I see it happen all the time. I've dealt with Christians, talked to Christians, know some right now. messing around with things. And you know what happened? They think, well, I'll get away with it. I'll get away with it. You know what happened? That thing will come back up and eat you alive. I read this article a while back, years ago. I'm going to read some of it to you. I can tell it to you. It's happened many years ago. A noted wild beast tamer gave a performance in England. This man, he took lions, tigers, leopards, and hyenas through their part of the entertainment of sonics in the audience just by his complete control over them. He was an animal trainer. As a closing act, he introduced an enormous python 25 feet long. He said he had brought it when he was only a few days old, and for 25 years he'd handled it daily so that he considered it perfectly harmless and completely under his control. He'd use it in his show, this is true, in this circus act. The curtains would rise upon an Indian woodland scene. The music of an oriental band steals through the trees. A rustling sound is heard, and a huge serpent is seen winding its way from the undergrowth out toward that man. It stops. Its head's erect. Its bright eyes sparkle. The whole body seems animated. The tamer comes forward, and at a signal from him, the snake slowly approaches as he'd done every day before and begins to coil the heavy fold around him. And that snake's wrapping around him. Higher and higher it rises until the man and the serpent seem to blend into one, and the hideous head is raised above the man. That serpent would wrap itself around that man. And he had an act. He did this. One time during that act, it says, why we cannot say, but at some moment the deadly serpent nature seemed to return. The man gave a scream. The audience burst into applause. The audience is sitting there applauding. Listen to this man watching this snake wrap around him. And they don't realize this talks about why they're sitting there applauding this man. That snake is constricting that man and his bones and everything in him popping there. And that snake suffering, sucking the life out of him. And they're all applauding. You know the world is that way. The world applauds you. Thank you got that thing tamed. Yeah, boy, like that prodigal son. Yeah, man, he knows how to throw a party, don't he? Boy, that guy's something else. Yeah, they're all applauding. And that snake's constricting him, breaking his bones, and they don't know it. He's in there screaming, and they can't hear him because of the applause. Talks about in there. And that snake puts his head on that man's head and begins stretching his head. And that audience in horror watch as that snake stretches over that man and devours him. You know what the response is? Kill it. You don't play with a python. You don't play with a timber rattler. You don't play with sin. You don't play with that sit us down to eat with that ruler. That thing can take hold of you. That appetite like David had that day. And that thing come up to David, cost four of his kids before he got through. And his whole life from then on, they were trying to kill him. You don't play with it. You stop it and you kill it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Ask my wife just to come play a few minutes this tonight and give you some time to think about this message. We all...